As we continue our sermon series, Finding Your Light, if you would once again join me in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, we're going to pick up from verses 21 through verse 37. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, "Raca," is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge. And the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth. You will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "Do not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully and has already committed adultery with her in his heart, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord." But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Finding your light in a bonfire. Now, a fire can be great. It can be a bonfire of that celebration of coming together to get warm and have those cozy conversations of being so close and intimate. Fire can bring light. It can remind us. It might set the tone of the room. But fire can be destructive and dangerous when it's not controlled. So when we choose to find our light, we have to be careful of our thoughts and intentions, for that does motivate our actions and feeds into our life and who we surround ourselves with. And be aware of that relationship, what you expect from it, what you give to it, and what's coming back. Because we should absolutely be friends with all we can be friends with, to share God in different ways. Sometimes the relationship is we both believe and we encourage one another. Sometimes we are like oil and water and we just don't mix for whatever reason. That's okay. You still can have love for one another and respect each other's boundaries. But if you've ever been around a very negative person, or maybe you are that negative person, how that will make that relationship go sour quickly. And if you're a believer and friends with a non-believer, it is your opportunity to share God with them in whatever way that works in the relationship. Some people are really open to discussion. Some people are really open to receiving where their needs are. And if we're not taking care of the needs, it's very hard for them to care about anything else you say. If you are starving and somebody's like, I want to sell you this dishwasher, are you sticking around for that conversation? Not happily. Be aware of where you both are. That's how the bond starts. But if I'm present with you and you're not present, then a bond's not happening. There is a disconnect. So let's start back with what we just shared in the Matthew Gospel, chapter 5. We can sum that up in 3 commandments of the Big Ten that we see in Exodus 20, 1 through 17. That's when it's introduced, the tablets. Then we see a repeat, because Moses knows the people need reminders, in Deuteronomy 5, 6 is where he starts to actually say, through 21. Our commandments that we're looking at specifically, we see them as commandments 6, 7, and 3. Why do I say this is how we see them? The Jewish faith numbers them a little differently. Catholic and Protestant. And where you start to see the counts go a little differently, in the Jewish faith, if you go to that Deuteronomy 5, 6, it's where I am God who delivered you from Egypt out of slavery. That's the Jewish number 1. And then their number 2 is what we consider 1, that you shall have no other gods before me. And then they continue, the rest of the list matches together. Catholic has 1, you shall have no other gods before me. But they also kind of loop in the no graven images there. So everything is boosted up. And then they separate 9 and 10. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife is number 9. Number 10, you shall not covet anything of your neighbor's. And we just say you shall not covet is our 10. So now, back to the 3 we're going to talk about. Commandment number 6, Exodus 20, 13. You shall not commit murder. Exodus 20, 14. You shall not commit adultery. Exodus 20, 7, chapter 20. Verse 7. You shall not misuse the Lord's name, your God, for the Lord shall not hold guiltless anyone who misuses his name. We sometimes summarize that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. So let's go back to this you shall not murder. I think we all agree, don't murder. But we kind of limit it to that physical, that I won't end your life. But Jesus is saying, you might as well call it murder if you destroy someone out of anger. This is that fire we're talking about that can get out of control really quickly. If you've ever seen someone drive mad, it feels reckless, it can feel dangerous. And you just kind of want to be like, hey, pull over. We've got time, cool down. Or people who get angry, pick up an object to just throw it, right? They just want that release of emotion. They don't know how hard they're throwing. And this is where that force lesson comes in, the momentum, that if you have a heavy object and it comes at you fast, it's gonna do damage. Hopefully you get out of the way. Also in anger, we say things we cannot take back. This word raka means you fool or nothing. You are nothing. Why is that such a big deal breaker? If you ever did premarital counseling with me, we cover a lesson about fighting fair, usually in our second or third meeting. Don't call each other names, because that is taking someone down a level, right? Like we just hiss out a vulnerability of someone's, that we are attacking them. We want to get to the heart. Oh, you upset me, so I'm going to double down and just go for your soul. Anyone ever have a nickname they did not enjoy as a child and that just went around to everybody? And like, even as an adult, you're like, please don't call me that. And they're like, you love it. No, no, I don't. You used to, never did. And it brings you down a level. And that's what Jesus is saying. When you call out to someone, you fool, you're judging them. You're saying, I'm smarter and you're not. You're saying you're nothing. Can you imagine, really, when we think about that, is there anything worse we could say to someone than say you're worthless? And Jesus is like, don't do that. When we are angry, we feel justified in the moment. But when we take ourselves out of the situation, it's such a different way we handle it. I'm going to be very honest with you. This morning was not a pretty picture leaving our house. It was me and Drew. Corey's just a good balance for me, as I have a million things going on. And then, of course, I'm running late. So it's got to be someone else's fault, right? So poor Drew is the only one in this house who's going to take the hits. And I wanted a box because I had forgotten there was stuff I wanted out in my car and I needed a box. I had it all set up on a table. Like, I was doing the moves, but I didn't want it out in my car because it's supposed to get pretty cold last night. All set up. Did I grab the box? No. Do we have 20 boxes in my garage? Absolutely. Probably more. And I tell Drew to grab a box. And he grabs one that was too small for all the stuff. And I could have, now I would just say, please pick a different box. That is not what I said. I said, can you see? Does that fit that? Grab the other box. So I point to a box. Hear what I said. The box I chose, he picks up, great size, has a big hole in the middle. Do I take the blame at this point? Oh no, now I am fired up that he picked a box that has a hole in it, except I'm the one who said, pick that box. So now I'm throwing the box on top of the other boxes, grabbing it. It is not the way we want to go into church. It's not the way we want to go into anything. And in the car, there might have been a big pile of emotions, mostly coming from the driver's side. There was the anger that I was angry, that I was angry at him. Have you ever been angry at someone because they made you angry, even though you're not really? None of that anger had anything to do with him or the box. It was that I was running late, that I had forgotten what I needed to do, that I had 10 thoughts going on in my head and I couldn't sort any of them. So to release, I said, grab a better box. Grab that one. Why did you pick the box I picked? Right? Anger makes us do that. Yeah. And now that we're here, of course, that is such a silly thing to be upset about. But had you witnessed this, you would have thought World War III was breaking out right there, right then. That you would have studied it in the history books. That's what anger does. That if you hold that anger against your neighbor, and 9 times out of 10, it has nothing to do with your neighbor. Now, there are absolutely situations we get angry about. And maybe you need to define boundaries. Don't be in a relationship that causes either of you harm. But also be realistic. Is this something that I should have been angry about? Is this something we can resolve? Or maybe this isn't the healthiest relationship for us. And go have that conversation. You don't get to bring your offering to God and be like, whew, I need forgiveness. I am mad at my brother. Whew! And God says, then I don't want your gift. But God, here's my gift. Yeah. It sounds like you need to go deal with that. Now, sometimes time has passed and you can't really truly go ask for forgiveness or move that relationship around or have that talk. God's not saying that then. Like, if you really can't resolve the situation, But God's saying, oh, I'm so mad what they did last night. Okay, put your gift down and go deal with that. Go deal with it now, right? And Jesus continues that. If you know an adversary is angry, go deal with it. Go take care of it. Go do what you can. And then come back to me. And they might not take your apology. I probably apologized 3-4 times to Drew this morning. And he didn't have to take it, right? His feelings are hurt. I yelled at him over a box. And I want immediate gratification. Like, okay, let's put that behind us. I'm uncomfortable. I'm not there yet. Did he eventually? Yes, because he wants peace in the car too. And we both want to move on with our day. We also have a relationship that we're going to have moments that are terse. But we know overall it's love. If you're in the beginning stages of building a relationship and you get angry, sometimes, you know what, this isn't for me. Or this isn't our time. But have that full talk. You don't want to hold on to that anger. That fire, if you see a fire in your house, are you not going to deal with it? Like, if it's not contained, you're going to want to deal with it. You don't need it to destroy your whole house because you didn't want to mess with it. And my procrastinators, I know you. I love you. I am you. Let me tell you about the vacuum. Anybody put off a 5-minute job for 8 months? This vacuum, I could have bought a new one. I could have gone to get it fixed. I could have actually just looked at it to see what I thought it was. But instead, I decided not to vacuum. I decided that one day. I decided it for a week. I decided for a month. Who has time to deal with the vacuum? And finally, after 8 months, I have a dog and a cat. I mean, yuck. Finally, I looked at the vacuum. Do you know how long it took me to fix the vacuum? 45 minutes, if we include the drive to the store to get the little belt that I knew was probably what was broken. And that actually took 5 minutes to pop that off after unscrewing and popping it back on. And the vacuum worked after 8 months, a miracle! Deal with the fire, right? Because that vacuuming after 8 months was a lot worse than just dealing with that 45-minute run to the store. I don't know, a $5 purchase maybe. And how much I felt guilty not vacuuming. How many times did I trip over the vacuum and call it names? How many times am I like, we should just throw this away? Instead of just taking those couple minutes to fix it. If you have a fire burning in your heart, deal with it. If that you need to go communicate with the other person, if you need to communicate to yourself, because maybe the person you're angry with is yourself, and if you're angry with God, have that heart-to-heart with God. God's not out to be vengeful, and God is not out there to hurt you. But there's times that we have some animosity. There's some anger. There's some hurt. And when we have that for a brother or sister, that hurts God just as much. I love them so much. I want you to love them too. They don't have to be your best friend, but love them. Imagine the relief you'll feel. Now let's talk about that adultery. It's just a lighthearted topic today, I tell you. When God came up with those 10 rules, it was love me, love each other. And you know what's the easiest way? Don't do this and don't do that. Let's not kill each other. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, don't destroy them by name calling. And don't come to me for forgiveness if you're not even dealing with the situation. And don't commit adultery. Don't betray your loved one is another way to look at that. When you enter into a relationship, adultery is usually in the romantic kind, but if we think like we did about the murder, that there's probably more than just the physical. Don't betray someone. If you've agreed into a partnership, whether that's with a business, some of you have signed contracts that you won't compete with the business. Like if you work at one grocery store, don't go work at the other and make them all the profits too. If you're in a friendship, don't take my secrets and feel you can go share them blatantly. And if you are in a romantic relationship, I trust that you're choosing me over all the people, that you want to build what we have. And so Jesus uses the example, don't even look. Like if your eye is going to cause you to sin, to do what I said very specifically, then take out the eye. I mean, it's better to lose one appendage than lose it all. And here's my kind of visual for you. Over here, let's call this I'm in the good side. I'm following all the rules. I'm doing exactly what Jesus and God has called me to do. And over there, whew, don't want to go over there. Over there, we got some trouble. We got some messes going on. So as long as I stay in the good, I'm good. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, I won't. Okay, that's a good start, right? That's a very clear-cut line. Oh, but if I look at, what if I think he's just awfully cute? And I just want to get a little closer look, just a little. I'm still way on my good side, still not even a problem. And what harm is a little flirting going to do? Just a little chit-chat, a little jokes, maybe a lot of jokes. Ooh, maybe they said something nice back to me. I just want to hear. I just want to hear. Fluff up that ego a little bit, right? Woo! I'm a lot closer to that middle than I was, but I'm still on the good side. Oh, but see, as I was courting and flirting and looking, the bad that was so clearly defined over here, well, they were making steps towards me too. And all of a sudden, we are right here in the middle. What is one step to the inch now at this point? Ooh, do you feel it? The temperature's rising a little faster than we'd like. And once you've crossed over the line, well, then what matters? Also, another visual is if we're on that mountaintop, we're good. We're feeling God. We are feeling the praises. And then we looked down the hill, and we saw someone we thought was a little cute. Anybody been on a hill? You all have hills around here, and some of them are steep. Some driveways have hurt my car. How steep some of these hills can get. And I promise you, in flat North Dakota, I never used a parking brake. Never, ever. I figured once you put your car in park, it's done. But some of these driveways, you're like, no, we're a little steep. And what happens is you start to slide. Oh, but if you slide a little bit, sometimes you're not catching yourself and you add just a little mud, just a little slickness. Down that mountain you go. And that's why Jesus says, be careful. That one step, that one lean, that could drag you down. So be careful where you're attaching. And if you start to feel like you are slipping, ask for forgiveness from your loved one right away. Like, whew, I didn't realize that that was as tricky a situation, but now that I think back to it, that was maybe a little more dangerous than either of us would like. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's been around a long time. That is Exodus 20:14. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. Now, many of us have quoted this in Sunday school. Many of us have learned this lesson, and we take that to mean don't curse. Well, that's a way of being polite, yes, don't curse. What it really means is don't use the Lord's name lightly. And Jesus goes on to say, don't swear by heaven, because that's God's. And don't swear by Jerusalem, that's God's city. Don't even swear by earth where you are living, because that is God's footstool. This is all God. So when you put it on the table, you don't have permission to pay the debt. And don't get fancy and think you can put yourself on there. Don't swear by your hair. You can't make it black or white. You don't even know the number of hairs on your head, and I do. I created you. I love you. So don't be just swearing up a storm and putting my name on the line. It's not your debt. Like, this would be the equivalent if we're gambling, which I'm not saying let's have a poker party, but let's say we were, and I had a great hand. And I was like, I believe in my hand so much, I'm going to put Phyllis's car on. Top off the list, right? It's not my car to give away. No matter how much I think that pot is mine. And that's what we sometimes do with God. Oh, I swear on whatever loved one's grave. How awful. But we just want to really drive that point home that I really mean it. Then use that word. I really mean it. If you're consistent that your yes means yes and your no means no, people will believe that. Leave it there. And Jesus says, if you continue on, that's only going to get you in trouble. Now you're opening the door for the evil one, because now you have debts to pay. And Jesus says, you don't want to be in debt to other people. Back a couple verses where I said, if you have an adversary, go take care of it now. Because what are they going to do? They're going to go talk about you. They're going to go slander your name. And then you have to regather it, regroup, even though it was all lies, which is also one of the commandments. Do not give false testimony against your neighbor. And Matthew Henry, in his commentary, because there are several denominations, there are several faiths that won't even swear on the Bible in court. And why Matthew Henry is saying, that's not going against the law. Because you are taking that, this is very serious. I am really giving an account of what I saw. And God has given me this commandment that I shouldn't lie. So I am honoring both of those commandments, and I'm not dishonoring God's name. And we see it in our culture all the time. And I was guilty about this as a teenager. OMG. Can you call on God in a great moment if you are on a mountain and struck by the beauty and the awesome wonder? Oh my God, this is so beautiful. You created this. And you're calling out in exclamation of what a joy. What a gift you have given, and I acknowledge that. Or maybe when you turned on the news and saw what was happening in Syria and Turkey. Oh my God, in devastation. And you can't come up with any other words for a prayer except to call on God. I don't even know where to start. I am overwhelmed. This hurts, and I don't know how to relieve it. That's not using God's name irreverently. OMG, what a cute shirt! Probably not a God moment. Probably not a holy moment. Now, I have found something and been that excited and definitely called on God. And you guys might think it's trivial, and that's fine. But be careful how you're using God's name. And if you are saying it in a cursing, that you can go to the world down under, that's not your judgment call. Let's leave God's work to God and what we can do for us. Let us be careful in that season of judgment. Who you choose to keep company with is definitely going to feed into your actions. And Paul tells us that over and over in his epistles. Your thoughts are important. Read Philippians 4. Read Romans 12. Read Colossians 3. How important your thoughts are. What you are feeding into your life, what you are feeding into your mind, what you are feeding into your heart is what will go out into the world. And go love on each other. And in his letters, he repeatedly tells you what is important to do. In Romans 12:10 and in Romans 12:13, it says, go practice hospitality. Give to those who are in need. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. That is Romans 12:13. To bear each other's burdens. To give each other encouragement. To love on one another. That's God's commandment. And that's why Jesus is telling us, remember those 10 commandments? They're good. They really do help sum up. Love God. Put God first. Don't get caught up in idols. Don't take his name lightly. Remember his holy day. And you want to show God love? Then you go show it to your brothers and sisters. Honor your parents and your elders. Go on and not commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Or bear false witness, which also falls into the gossip category. And don't covet. Don't get caught up in what they bought for themselves. Don't get caught up what their house looks like. Don't get caught up in their family. Love them. But you have your own life that God gave you and blessed you abundantly with. And if you don't like what's going on in there, then have that talk with God. What can I do better? What can I change? It might be as simple as putting down the gift. Because here you think you're doing good, right? God, this is for you. And God said, oh, I'd much rather you deal with this relationship. I'd rather you go love your brother and your sister and your neighbor. That's what I want. And then if you still come make the sacrifice, wonderful. I will take that gift with such joy. Find your light. Build that bond fire where we spark each other's faith, where we encourage each other to be on fire for the Lord, to glow and share light with those in need. I don't know how many of you have heard about this revival happening in Asbury. I haven't followed that closely. First off, it troubles me a lot how many people are like, a revival's happening at a seminary and it's big news. I hope God's there. It's kind of like if somebody says a revival's happening at the church. I hope so. I hope they're dancing in the aisles and singing praises to God. I hope they're lifting prayers. I hope they're encouraging one another and taking each other's burdens. And there's people who are criticizing. And I wish they were the people who didn't believe, because that would make sense why, like, this is just ridiculous. But it's fellow believers. Now, that might not be how you want to worship God, and that's fine. I encourage you, you find the church where you feel blessed. You find the church that is growing your faith. And if that means testing it and going to places that's a little different, okay. But let us never discourage somebody else who's worshiping God and reaching people. I also hear this at like awards speeches, like an actor or a sports or a musician will come and be like, I thank God. And people will be like, oh, that's just for show. Well, amen. They might not be sincere. I don't know. But they might have just hit 5,000 people who are going to church or pulling up a sermon or a message. God still can use that. So let us encourage each other to bring up God how it feels for you. If that means inviting him to church, great. If that means having a dinner, just providing a meal, and never even giving a Bible verse, that's fine too. Love is what God asks us to give each other. And that's how we bring glory to the kingdom. Let us not stop someone else's journey because of our judgment, because that's not how we want to worship God. That's not how we feel we serve God. But let us encourage each other to share God. And that let our yes be yes and our no be no. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, sometimes we don't know what you're calling us to do. Sometimes we go for the easy human route where the flesh tells us, and we let it lead. God, let our light be you. Let us spark and encourage one another to seek you, to find you in what a world sometimes feels overwhelmingly dark, but that you really are the lighthouse shining around us, giving us footsteps to take. And God, let us encourage our brothers and sisters, or to be at least in communication, and to stop destructive paths, not out of judgment, but out of love and concern. And help us to always have a gaze upon our own life, where pit fires might be starting. God, we seek you above all else. In your precious and holy name, amen.